I'm Tom Asbrook. This is On Point. In Alabama last week, President Trump went on a tirade against NFL players not standing for the national anthem. This weekend, plenty did not stand. Others linked arms in protest. The NFL is suddenly a battlefield. We're going to talk about it. Freedom of speech, respect for the flag, sports and politics. You can join us. We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. We could dive in almost anywhere here, but let's start in Detroit. National anthem singer there, Rico Lavelle, supported NFL players in the Take a Knee demonstration by kneeling at the end of his performance of the national anthem before the Detroit Lions game. Lavelle, who is African-American, put his fist in the air and took a knee as he ended the anthem.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave.
On a knee. So were many pro players this weekend, others linking arms in protest in observance of what was going on here. It all started last week in Huntsville, Alabama. Not entirely, but this is when the president really got into it. Went after NFL players who take a knee during the anthem. We don't normally air this kind of rough language, but here was the president of the United States using it straight out on Americans exercising their freedom of speech in a very public setting.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
That's the president. From the sound of it, they ate it up in Alabama, but lots of people did not eat it up over the weekend. On Fox yesterday, NFL studio analyst, former Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Terry Bradshaw, blasted President Trump for his response to players kneeling during the national anthem.
Probably like a lot of you, I was somewhat surprised that the president of the United States came out attacking NFL players for them exercising the freedom of speech. While I don't condone the protest during our national anthem, this is America. If our country stands for anything, folks, what? It's freedom. People died for that freedom. I'm not sure if our president understands those rights. That every American has the right to speak out and also to protest.
Former NFL quarterback Terry Bradshaw going after the president. But in the stands were people responding to the president's perspective on this. Certainly, here's sound from the New England Patriots fans. This was yesterday, booing players who knelt during the national anthem. Well, read that as you will. Joining me now from Laurel, Maryland, is David Steele, senior writer for Sporting News, covers the NFL. David Steele, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom.
Great to have you here. Also with us from Washington is Christine Brennan, national sports columnist for USA Today, commentator for ABC News, CNN, PBS. Christine Brennan, welcome to On Point.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. David Steele, what do you make of this? I guess we've never seen anything like it in total. You had Colin Kaepernick alone on a knee in protest, and now, over this weekend, all over the place you got protests. Some teams didn't even come out of the locker room, didn't want to be out there when the national anthem was played. Others linked arms, and others knelt. Others just took a knee. What's happening here, David?
We've come a long way since in the past year, seeing where Colin Kaepernick was, where he really was by himself for a large part of his time in the league when he was protesting. A few scattered players around the league joining him and facing the same sort of condemnation. A lot of the same people, when you played that Terry Bradshaw clip, a lot of the broadcasters, a lot of the people who were very adamant about Kaepernick not being within his rights to do that, really kind of they switched sides. They sort of flipped on what they had said a year ago, and what they even said during this past offseason when Colin Kaepernick was out of work. The president kind of brought a lot of people who were not on common ground onto common ground, and that includes fans, includes other players, broadcasters, people in and around the league, and probably more shockingly than any, the owners who stood up against a man who they supported financially and politically in a lot of ways, in saying, hey, he's now threatening everybody's freedom of speech, not just this one player who we've been more or less vilifying over the past year.
Christine, you had Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, very close by both accounts to President Trump, coming out and saying deeply disappointed in the president on this front. And suddenly, this is all over the place. What's the president's, is game the right word here? I don't know, in your view, Christine. Why is he working this so hard?
Well, Tom, I think, David, you and I can agree that we have no idea what's going on in Donald Trump's brain. So we'll agree on that. And, you know, to stick to sports journalism where we're...
I mean, it's hard to because you brought it up at a campaign rally, a political rally.
Oh, exactly. But no, but I mean, I'm happy to be in this world where sports and culture intersect, as you know. That's what I love to do more than anything else. And I haven't stopped talking about it all weekend. I don't know if Trump, you know, if he trying to just gin up his base. I have no idea. That's, again, an area for someone else to try to figure out what he's doing. Speculation probably doesn't help us in most of this stuff. But reality, the truth, what we do know is fact, is that he got this going. David's point is a great one. You know, Kaepernick was doing what he was doing, and things had calmed down. And, of course, keep in mind, Kaepernick, this was a very calm, mild protest. One man, then joined by others over the last year, occasionally, also putting his money where his mouth was with $1 million donation over with many different charities. He's now reached close to $1 million in his own personal donations, Kaepernick has. So if you despise Colin Kaepernick, just stop and think about that for a moment. The $1 million he is giving to charity. But that was what this was. And it was kind of Charlottesville, Trump's dreadful response to Charlottesville, horrid response, brought some of it back to light a little bit. But mostly it was dying down and just on the back burner. And then boom. And he did it. So if you want to point fingers, I guess we're in the pointing fingers phase of our culture. And he did it. No, she did it. Back and forth kind of nonsense of childish stuff that we thought we left behind. And now it's in the White House. Okay, then let's do it. I'll do it. Trump started it. Trump led us to this point. He is the sole reason we are having this conversation, and he is the sole reason why over, 200 players protested and three teams didn't even come out for the national anthem. It is all on Donald Trump, and let's be even more, let's use words Donald Trump would know, you know, winning and losing. Well, guess who lost the weekend? Donald Trump. It was a disaster for him. And now he's trying to say in one tweet of many something about, well, even if they're linking arms, it's okay. You know, that's okay. Well, now
but taking a knee is not, was the president's point in a tweet.
Well, and he's moving the goalposts, though, to use another sports term, because he's now changing the rules. Because, of course, we all know that linking arms is a protest against Donald Trump, and now he's trying to, I guess, confuse people and say, oh, that's good. So he's lost. It was a disastrous turn of events for him. And he has seen, I think, the true nature, the good nature of this country.
You know, the Chicago Tribune, people responding from all over the place. Editorial, big editorial in the Chicago Tribune. Trump's fumbling grasp of democracy, they headlined it. They talked about Charlottesville. They said, to recap the scoring, Trump gives whites at a neo-Nazi rally more respect than he gives to black football players. They said, players who take the knee aren't disrespecting the flag. They're living out the freedom it represents. About Donald Trump, they said, this is the Chicago Tribune, a conservative paper. He can't speak from the heart on the subject without sounding like an apologist for hate mongers. And this, going forward, Chicago Tribune, how about he leaves discussions of free speech, race relations, and religious protection to leaders who still have credibility? But here was the president getting ready to get on Air Force One and head back to Washington from New Jersey yesterday, said his criticism of the NFL is not about race.
No, this has nothing to do with race. I've never said anything about race. This has nothing to do with race or anything else. This has to do with respect for our country and respect for our flag.
David Steele, you're African-American. Does this have anything to do with race?
Yeah, he knows better than to say that and think that people are going to believe him. I mean, I think he has a track record. He has history. And so many of the players who did stand up, and this, we're talking black and white players who spoke up, you know, they pointed directly at that, at the contradiction of the one that everyone's been talking about for weeks now. His response to Charlottesville, to neo-Nazis and white supremacists, where he said, you know, there's blame on many sides and there's many fine people on both sides, to now where he condemned the entire sport, which is the majority African-American, and specifically an African-American player who jump-started the protests a year ago in the first place, and who he's picked at from time to time. And we also have to remember that also linked in with this, that it was just barely a week ago that, you know, he went after the ESPN commentator, Jemele Hill,
yes,
for what she said about him, labeling, you know, calling him outright a white supremacist.
Yep.
And again, the response was, she should be fired. I mean, he is denying the fundamental right to an entire class of people, and that is what his mode of operation has been, and it all just sort of came together this weekend when he consciously took a shot at that player, the entire league, and he galvanized them in ways that just had not happened already. I mean, it gave visibility to a protest and to an issue that a lot of people had sort of tuned out for a long, long time. And now the focus is back on it. Focus is on his reluctance to it. The focus is back on the people who have been resistant to it. And it's opened a lot of eyes that I think people were either willfully shutting or they were just sort of ignoring, and now everybody's eyes are wide open about it.
We're looking at the uproar in the NFL over the take a knee and the president's harsh criticism of it, rough language. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Corey in Atlanta, Georgia. Corey, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to make a couple points that really were outstanding to me this weekend. First of all, Sundays are pretty sacred to me and a lot of other people in this country. It's your time to unplug from politics, and I kind of don't.
Sacred for church or sacred for football, Corey?
Sacred for both, really. Some people have their Sunday sacred for the church, and it's like a ritual. You know, football Sunday is after Mass,
okay. Yep.
Family meal.
Yep.
Those things kind of go together, and I've been doing that all my life. I played sports all my life. But then again, yeah, Sunday is that time to unplug. You know, I don't want to deal with politics on Sunday. I don't want to deal with politics on Sunday. College football Sunday. I got 17 weeks to enjoy the NFL.
So what do you think about the president then here? What do you think?
Okay, that's the second part. And I don't think he understands the history of athletes when it comes to being outspoken. If you go back to Muhammad Ali, incarcerated for not wanting to fight in the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard anybody mention that. Jim Brown also. We've had scores of athletes from the Olympics with the black fist in the air. There was a white man on that stage that gave those two guys his black gloves to wear. He was an Australian runner, and he was a great man. But these are things that have been going on for a long time.
Right or wrong for NFL players to take a knee during the anthem? For you, Corey.
It's not wouldn't be my choice, but I applaud them for standing and using their rights. And mainly I applaud NFL owners for standing with their guys. These are guys that they handpick to come to these teams that these kids have played since Pee Wee League, high school ball, college ball. They get to the point where they get to the pros. They have earned that right. These NFL owners know that they have elite people on their teams. These guys have dedicated their life to perfection of their craft.
Yeah, Corey, we've got it, and I appreciate your call. Christine Brennan, do the owners stick with the players here? Donald Trump is going after their ratings, failing, and encouraging people not to go if they see more of this. Can the owners stand up to that?
No, absolutely, they have. You know, Donald Trump has really picked on the one group of people who can meet him in terms of power, in terms of decibel level, whatever you might say, reach on Twitter and social media. All these players have Twitter accounts. They have followings, not just, Tom, in blue states, but in red states.
And LeBron James from the NBA world coming out and saying, you know, calling the president a bum, saying back off, talking about their, Stephen Curry's disinvitation by the president. LeBron James saying, look, the Oval Office was respected before you got there, Mr. President. That's
absolutely
a big voice.
And so, again, I think over the we've watched in aghast horror, whatever, over the last 8, 9 months, 10 months, as this man has done what he has done from the Oval Office, and a lot of people couldn't respond. Well, he's picked on the wrong guys. You know, the schoolyard bully learned early on that you're not supposed to pick on the big guys, the football players. And from Roger Goodell to D. Smith, the union chief, all of them just so critical of Trump. And this notion that Trump had is that, well, it's always about crowd size, I guess, right, with him. Well, in this case, the TV ratings, I'm sure, are better today. Everyone tuned in to watch what was going on. The national anthems were shown. People were interested. I didn't see many empty seats when I saw these games, and it looked like people showed up. They spend so much money on tickets. It's just counterintuitive. As a businessman, Donald Trump, you would think, would know this. If you're spending that kind of money, you want to go and partake and enjoy the experience in the game. And most Americans clearly are not bothered by it to the point that Donald Trump is suggesting. So he's wrong. He's all wrong. He's got it all wrong, and he's shown over the last 72 hours. He's absolutely, completely opposite in terms of what the facts are and what the mood of the country seems to be.
David, what do you think of the president using this very rough language? Sons of bitches. I mean, any son of a bitch who doesn't... from a president, I've never heard it in public like that on a stage and aimed at a particular group of people.
Yeah, he made it personal. And I think that's a lot of what drove the reaction, the immediate reaction by not just the players, but again, the owners, players from other sports, as you mentioned, LeBron James and Steph Curry. He made it very personal and made it very insulting, and they took it personally, and that is what motivated them to say, you will not speak to me as an American citizen, as somebody who is engaged in this country and the issues that is involved. You're bringing our families into it. I mean, that insult itself, you know, it points at Colin Kaepernick's mother and the mothers of the players who, for the most part, were the guiding forces to bring these guys onto the platform that they're able to use now. And that's something that everybody can relate to, and the president just so completely misread that and gauged that so poorly. You know, how he did and why he did, that's For better people than me to try to figure out, as Christine said, try to get inside his head. I'm not the one, but he clearly did not understand his audience. I think he thought his audience was going to be exactly like the one in Alabama he was speaking to, yep, that he had that on his side, and he was proven wrong in a very loud way.
David, we're out of time right there. David Steele with Sporting News. Thanks for being with us. And Christine Brennan at USA Today. Our thanks to you both. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.